First, a bit of a focus on the federal government's social media ban, which is just days away from officially starting. Teenagers across the country have already begun finding their accounts suspended. The tech giants have been rolling out their age verification checks ahead of Wednesday's deadline. Last week, you heard from Riley Allen, a 15-year-old from Woodina on South Australia's Eyre Peninsula, and he shared his concerns about the upcoming ban.
Well, social media is a tool that should be taught. Social media, it allows you to have that connection with other people, but you also need to have the balance between social media and life, which that being taught that is something you can't get taught by anybody else apart from your family.
That's 15-year-old Riley Allen there speaking to Radio National Breakfast on Friday. The coming days and weeks may be a bit of a fraught time for some teenagers as they navigate this new world without social media. So the question is, how can parents and caregivers best support their kids in this transition? Dr. Jo Orlando is a digital wellbeing expert and author of Generation Connected, How to Parent in a Digital World at Every Age and Stage. She joins us. Dr. Orlando, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you.
Look, how difficult could this transition be for some families?
Yeah, well, it's going to be stressful, not just for the under 16s themselves, but for the parents and the rest of the family as well. Quite stressful for young people in that it kind of it impacts a couple of things that are really important for adolescents. So if you're We all remember being a teenager and your friends are really important to you. And it's just not something simple. It's actually part of your child development at that point where you're moving away from being a child towards adult. So for many young people, social media is all about that kind of friendships, social belonging. So we're taking that away and it's going to be really difficult for a lot of young people, but some more than others, like some who are remote or who are finding their community online, but they don't have any many friends at school. You know, all children are a bit different. So everyone is going to be feeling it, but feeling it in their own way. So it's not kind of a one size fits all. But a lot of young people also tell me, like, I feel like I'm being punished, but I didn't actually do anything. So there's a lot of stress all around.
Absolutely. So what are the sort of conversations that should be happening now between parents and caregivers and their children about how to navigate what for some kids is going to be a pretty big change? What are the sort of things that should be being talked about right now?
Yeah, so if you haven't started having any conversations yet, you probably need to start now. Like it starts on December the 10th, but you don't want to start then. It's going to take a few conversations. So first of all, is kind of most of our children, most young people will know about the ban. So it's not as if you're telling them, you're providing the news. They know, they've seen it all.
They know
over
and they're
TikTok.
Not happy, I think, is the case for many.
That's right. They know, they've probably got plans in place, you know, all kinds of things. So know that your conversation is coming in at a point where they've already given it quite a bit of thinking and had a lot of conversations. But also it's not about saying, all right, well, it's just the law, you know, get off, that's it. Because that's kind of really dismissing where they're up to. So the first thing is kind of just talking together about like, what does a ban actually include? What does it mean? You know, what is it going to mean for you? What's it going to mean for the family? But also in that, you want to find out like, where is it really hurting for them? You know, which aspect? Because it's going to be different for different teenagers. And it's also going to depend on their age. So like a 13-year-old, for example, you know, from a child development point of view, they're all about fitting in. You know, they just want to be part of the group. That's what a 13-year-old's brain is all about. So they're going to be really worried that they're going to be like so socially invisible to their group, particularly since it's coming at the beginning of, you know, the summer holidays and they're not going to see their friends for a few weeks. A 15-year-old is a little bit different. Even though they're just a couple of years older, they're all about like their identity, you know, and they've got this carefully constructed world, you know, part of which of course includes the online where they communicate a particular way, they've kind of put themselves out in a particular, you know, look and way and they follow people. So this kind of carefully constructed world is going to be dismantled in a couple of days. So you have to kind of talk to them about like, where is it? What is it that they're going to miss? Like, where is it hurting for them? And then trying to find a solution, you know, okay, you're not going to be completely socially invisible for your friends. How about we, you know, invite everyone over once a week or invite a couple of friends over once a week? So you're kind of connecting with them in another way, giving them a bit of a solution. So it could be an offline solution, But an online solution, or how about we set up a group, a WhatsApp group chat? That's still allowed. You know, let's set that up today so you're not missing out on your friends. You're just shifting over to a platform that's actually legal.
Not all parents are going to support the ban or perhaps go to the same lengths to try to enforce it. So how do parents and kids navigate it when there might be division amongst a school group of friends, for example, where some are finding ways around it, but you're trying to uphold the ban?
I know, it's a really tough situation. And, you know, the latest stats show that about 30% of parents say they're going to help their child get around the ban. So it's a very real situation that a lot of families might be faced. But I think, you know, we hear a lot as parents, and I'm a parent too, I've got three kids. We hear a lot, you know, so-and-so's allowed, I'm not, or everyone's doing
a very familiar refrain to parents who are hearing this right now.
That's right. So one is it's not always completely accurate. So if you can talk to any of your child's friends' parents, if you do have that opportunity, that's really good to just get a layout of the land. So maybe you're going to an end of year school event or something. You might get a chance to talk to some of those parents, just see where they're at. I think it's also really important to tell your child and talk to them about, like, if you do go on, it's actually breaking the law, you know. So I think that is in itself is a pretty strong statement. And then I think it's also just going back to that conversation, what is it that you're worried about missing out on? Let's see if we can find alternate ways.
And just before we go, Jo, you support this ban? Do you think this is the right move?
Look, I think we want to protect children online, but there's a lot of ways around this ban. So it's very complex and it involves some very powerful social media companies. So I think it's a really tough one to enforce 100%.
I think there's still a lot of questions as well about what responsibility lies with the tech firms when it comes to what anyone can access, let alone of any age. But look, I think you've helped give us some good tips for navigating the next couple of days. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Jo Orlando is a digital wellbeing expert and author, helping us navigate this space ahead of the ban coming into force in 2 days' time.